If you want to go with me, you can go to 2 Timothy 1. We're going to start there this evening. And Victor, the man behind the curtain, is going to get us there. You got that for us? 2 Timothy 1? No?
What do you...
Huh? You want to project it? Do you have it? 2 Timothy 1. I think that's where we're going. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. Hey! Anticipation. All right, you guys alive tonight? All right. I'm assuming those of you who nodded are alive. The rest of you, hopefully, as well. I'm going to read this passage in a minute, and we're just going to keep going with some of this conversation on life with the Spirit this evening. And it's funny because I keep coming back to the John 3 passage that we referenced the past 2 weeks. If you missed that, listen to those messages. I would encourage you to do that. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, was the first time we talked about that. And then last week, we talked about it again. And I sort of gave the opposite side of that perspective. And the John 3, we're not going to go there, but John 3 is the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Jesus explains what it means to be born again. And he says it's to be born of the Spirit. And I talked about how powerful it is. He says, he compares the Spirit to the wind. And the wind goes where it pleases. And you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. But then he says, so it is with those born of the Spirit. And there's sort of two sides of the same coin. One is this side of how amazing it is and how important it is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and to recognize a moment where the Spirit of God actually transforms us, renews us, gives us a new beginning where our lives now are being filtered through the lens of His presence in us and with us. And how that changes our ability to understand the things of God. In fact, it makes all the difference. Fast forward to last week, I talked about another side to that, which is the fact that even though we have the ability to understand what God is doing and to understand, more importantly, what God is like, that a lot of times actually moving with the Spirit leads us into more uncertainty than we had before we started following Him. And that seems kind of paradoxical when the Spirit is the one who's leading us into truth. But at the same time, a lot of times that truth and the understanding of the truth He's leading us in comes after we move. It comes after we believe. It comes after we've begun to exercise faith in the middle of not knowing, in the middle of not understanding. So I want to come back to the flip side of that again this week. So we're just flipping the coin over, flip it over again. And I want to talk a little bit more about some of the way that we process with God and let the Spirit speak into our lives and bring understanding and the importance of that. I think too often we settle for something less than the intimacy of God's voice being close to us. And settle for something less than even in the middle of the unknown, having something that God has said that we can hold on to, because it was clear, because it was assuring, because it was real for us, both when he said it and in the moment that we're in. And I think sometimes, and this is why I'm flipping the coin over, because I think sometimes we end up not finding the balance that comes from understanding both sides of that. One side, which is us even encouraging each other to say, if you have the Spirit of God in you, that means you can hear from God yourself. That is a right, a privilege of being his child, his son, or his daughter. And it's your place in his family that qualifies you for that. And encouraging each other in that. Providing confidence for each other in that. But at the same time, not being disingenuous about the fact that we still walk by faith. And there's a lot that we don't know or understand, especially in the moment. And encouraging each other, not by trying to give trite cliches, but encouraging each other by saying, you know what? It's okay to not understand fully. And in fact, it may not be evidence that you're not walking with God. It may be evidence that you are. So I want to go back to that first part, and I want to talk a little bit more about how we navigate that knowing and understanding and some things that are important for us as we do that. And let's start by reading this 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. I'm going to just read it with you guys. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Fan into flame the gift of God. This message is about stoking the spirit within you. Okay? Fanning the flame of the spirit that's within you. And that's what is being written here to Timothy, that he charges him and reminds him of. He said, you've been given the Spirit of God, and God is doing something in your life. And I want to remind you to pay attention to that. But not only to pay attention to it, but to nurture it, to protect it, to care for it. We've been given the very Spirit of the living God, but there's something that we do, something that we must do, to tend to that spirit and to protect the very presence of God in us from being diminished. And there is one that would seek to diminish the impact of the presence of God in each of our lives. And there is one who in some way or another has, if we're honest. And I think it's important for us to recognize that the enemy would seek to and can diminish the role and the impact of the Spirit of God in your life if you let him. But only if you let him. Okay? The enemy would attempt to dampen the potency of the Spirit of God in you, in me, through distraction, through discouragement, through temptation leading to sin. Those are ways that the enemy would seek to dampen the presence of God in your life, the very flame of God that would seek to burn and burn brightly within you. And so for that very reason, Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, he says, fan the flame. Fan the flame. And he reminds him of what the presence of God in him is supposed to produce. What the presence of God in him is supposed to produce. Power, love, self-discipline. And I think Paul was speaking to the place that he knew of Timothy without the presence of God really working. Timothy was shy. He was timid. He was young. He was perhaps, according to some, inexperienced. And Paul says, fan the flame of the Spirit of God in you. And as you do, this is what it will produce. Because this is what the presence of God is like. There's some parts of this that may seem a little disconnected. How do we fan the flame? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit more. And I'm sorry, Victor, I didn't give you this verse. It's also in 2 Timothy. If you want to find it, it's... let me see if I know it. I think it's 2 Timothy. I'm just going to have to find it. Sorry. I don't even think I wrote it down. Where is it? Getting closer. 2 Timothy, still in chapter 1, starting in verse 13. He says, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. What is the fanning of the flame that Paul is talking about? I don't know exactly. I think he's partly referring to something specific that he prayed for Timothy. That the Spirit would do in Timothy's life. And maybe it had to do with the things that were the opposite of the Timothy that was timid. But it's the things that the Spirit of God alone produces in us. It's those things. He goes on to say, guard what was entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit. Guard the good deposit. The good deposit, the word there is actually treasure. Guard the treasure that you've been given. And so he's talking about teaching, things that he's heard, but I think we could broaden our understanding of what the good deposit is that we're guarding with the help of the Holy Spirit to say that it's anything good of God that he's given us. Any treasure of the kingdom, it is in fact the Spirit of God himself on the most fundamental level, which goes back to the thing he says, fan into flame the presence of God in your life and what he's begun to do. Guard the treasures, guard the good deposits, guard the things that God has given to you already, even as you wait for him to continue to do a good work in you. Ephesians 2. He's preparing things for us. But while he's preparing things for us, we don't just sit. We don't just wait. Yes, we are waiting on him to do those things. But as we wait, I think there is something for us to do. And I believe that's where the fanning the flame of God's presence with us here and now and guarding what he's already said to us becomes really important. It's just a week of sort of reminders for me in that. Just so you know, this was not a fun week. A week I'm glad technically is over, beginning of a new one here. And I felt like I was under a cloud for much of the week and not very fun to be around. Even though my wife was gracious enough to not tell me that. I felt it, she felt it. And even this morning, I was kind of feeling at a loss for what to share with you guys and a loss for how to sift through that and sort through that. And I reached out to our sister Cynthia and asked for some prayer, and that was really helpful. And then I just spent some time to just sit with God and to ask him to speak to me. And and he brought me back to a word from earlier this year, and I think he reminded me of it and said to go listen to it. And thankfully I've had that one recorded, because I've listened to it about 10 times now at least. And the funny thing is, as I was getting ready to listen to that word, I started to think, well, I've heard this one a lot. I'm pretty familiar with it. And there's multiple things. It's about 15 minutes of people sharing, mostly people that I didn't know before that night. And I was like, well, maybe I should listen to this other word. But I was like, no, I think this is the one. And so I began to listen to it, and sure enough, it was like almost like it was new again. Very immediately, God began to highlight things that, you know, maybe in the past didn't stand out from that word. And I just started writing some of those things down. And I've done this a few times with this word, and every time it's been different, which is just fascinating to me. But I think it's something that the Spirit of God uniquely is able and does with us. You know, we read the same word. Here we are 3 weeks reflecting on John 3. And it's like the Spirit of God revealing things in his time and in his way and when we need it. And yet it still surprises me when he does that. And so I began to process some of that and listen to some of that. And there were a few things that really just kind of stood out in a way that they hadn't before, and meant something that they didn't mean before. Didn't mean the first time I heard it. And I'll just share one of those things with you guys. I wore these shoes today because they were the shoes I was wearing the night that I got that word. I remember that because two people, not actually because they really matched my outfit. So there's a little fashion tip. You know, you don't always have to pick your outfit based on what it matches. You know, it might be some other word of meaning. Rebecca's like, really, John? Okay. Really? But two people that night referenced my shoes, and it may not seem like much, but the very first word that I ever received from God was a word about my feet. And as I listened to that again today, it was like God was reminding me of that first word that he gave me. It was a word about your feet being able to take you wherever you want to go. And at the time, and very immediately when I heard that for the very first time from God, it was about obedience. It was about choosing to follow God. It was about surrendering your will and your life to Him. And as I was listening to that word today, it was like God was reminding me through these two people talking about my shoes that He wanted to add something to that initial word. And, you know, in the same way that obedience is fundamental, there's a place in our journey with God where I think He wants to take us, where we go beyond just the place of being a servant, although we never stop being a servant, right? There's a place of friendship with God that He wants to take us, which is a level or a depth of relationship that is more intimate. And He says that in that passage where Jesus talks about moving from being a servant to a friend, He says the difference is that a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. And the implication is that a friend does. And I feel like that relates to some of what I'm talking about tonight, in that God wants you to have understanding. He wants to give you things to hold on to. Words that you can revisit again and again, and not just hear the same thing, but hear something different. Hear something for the moment that you need. And it's why, as a community, that we've spent the past years trying to steward the role of the prophetic specifically, because I think the prophetic is one of the ways that God wants to do that, and it's a powerful way that God wants to do that. And it's a way that God wants to speak into our present, but He also wants to speak about our future. And while we're in the middle of waiting, and we're in the middle of uncertainty, I believe that hearing God speak powerfully, not just about now, but about what's ahead, is really meaningful, even if it's not related. Why is it important? Why is it powerful? I believe it's powerful because it's first and foremost about God reminding us that He knows us. It's about God reminding us that He knows us. It's about God reminding us that He sees us. It's about God reminding us that He's with us. It's about God reminding us that He's going ahead of us and He's preparing a way for us. It's not first and foremost about whatever information you might receive in a prophetic word. It's first and foremost about this fundamental place of relationship with God, where we're reminded that God knows us and sees us, and He's making a way for us. Are you guys with me? That's why I love Psalm 139. And it was kind of coming out in some of what you were singing today, Rebecca. At least I thought it was. Psalm 139 is just this powerful hymn of that truth, that God knows us so deeply that we can't even comprehend the depths to which He knows us. And one of the things that He says in Psalm 139 is that He says, "How precious are Your thoughts for me, O God. How precious are Your thoughts for me, O God." Like a treasure. Like a treasure. And going back to what Paul said to Timothy, if we're going to guard the treasure of what God has said to us and what He's deposited in us and for us, what He's given us, then we got to know what it is first. And so I want to encourage you to take time to fan the flame of the Spirit of God in you by actually listening to what God has said to you, both past, present, and especially for what's ahead. Does that make sense? I believe that The prophetic is one of the most powerful ways that we actually fan the flame of the Spirit of God in us. Because think about it, if the enemy wants to discourage you, we're actually told in Corinthians that the prophetic is meant to be a powerful encouragement. If through sin, the enemy would seek to weaken the place of God and the presence of God in your life and your participation with Him, well, the prophetic actually strengthens us. Are you guys with me? Okay. I think that we're coming into a place in as a community who's begun to value the prophetic, where God wants to take us into deeper application of how to steward it. And I think this is one, especially in the past year and a half for me, that when I've done it, God reminds me fresh of how important it is. When I've revisited what He said, especially in moments where I'm feeling stuck, especially in moments where I don't feel like I have understanding on where I'm at or what's ahead, it's been really powerful. So that means a couple of things. That means, one, if you haven't begun to open yourself up to that or collect those things, I would encourage you, invite you to do that, and we'd be happy to help play a part in that. It's why at our home groups, when people come for the first time, we try to take time to listen in that way. But it doesn't have to happen there, and I would just encourage and invite us to share in that more in this time. You know, this might be the only time that we get to exchange and fellowship and encourage each other in that way. And if you need that or you have that for someone else, share it. The Spirit reveals all truth. The Spirit reveals truth. And it's interesting because I think that's why, and one of the ways that we see the Spirit reveal that, He can reveal it to you in a lot of ways, but in the New Testament we hear about the spiritual gifts, and specifically gifts of revelation. Prophecy being one of those. And others being words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discernment of the Spirit. All four of those fit under this umbrella of gifts of revelation. And so it would stand to reason that the Spirit who reveals, the Spirit who wants to bring understanding, who gave us these gifts, would do so. One of the primary ways He would do so is through those same gifts. This might seem off topic, but I just want to ask this and something for you to be thinking about. And I think it relates to being in the middle of unknown and this little thing I said last week about being on adventure with God and how He really does want this to be this journey of following His lead to be an adventure with us. And I just felt like I wanted to ask this question. And as we're talking about being led by the Spirit, I feel like even today we're talking about listening for what God's saying and processing that and coming back to that and letting it be fresh for you. I think there's another side to that as well. And I think even as you do that with God, I feel like God has wants to hear from you as well. Because again, as being led by the Spirit, we're not being led as drones. We're not being led as robots. We're being led as people in participation with Him. People with feelings and thoughts and dreams and desires. Are you guys with me? And I think that equally as important as hearing from God and having a hold of that, I feel like God is saying, I want to hear from you too. And someone just needs to hear that. And I feel like God is actually asking the question, where do you want to go by my Spirit? Where do you want to go with the help of my Spirit? That's the realm of dreaming with God. That's the realm of not just simple obedience, but partnership and collaboration with God. And I think it is actually a place of deeper relationship where you can actually trust God with the things that you need to trust Him with. And at the same time, you start to realize that God trusts you. Like the very proof of that is that He put His presence in you, not to rule over you, but to lead you. The fact that God put His presence in us is actually God saying, I have an amazing plan by which I'm going to trust you to partner with me. I'm not going to do it all for you. And it's actually how love is going to be the way. Love is going to be the way that this happens. But by God doing that, actually He's saying fundamentally, I trust myself, and I trust myself in you, and I trust you. So, where do you want to go with the presence of God and by the power of the Spirit of God? And I would just invite you, if you haven't in a while or maybe ever, to just unpack that with Him. Okay, a few more things and we're going to wrap up. Back to how do we fan the flame. And I want to just kind of summarize it in two parts. And the first one I didn't really talk about yet. I was just thinking about, there's a number of ways, but I would say fundamentally it's being with God. Fundamentally it's finding Him and letting Him find you and being with Him and speaking to Him and letting Him speak to you. And you know, the prophetic, which I'm talking specifically about, is one of, I think it's a powerful way that we connect with Him and His thoughts and His heart for us. But on the fundamental level, it's being with God. But I want to highlight two specific ways. And I've already talked about the one, prophecy. And I would say even, I don't know if it's before or alongside a part of this. This week, God was just reminding me of the significance and the role of fasting in our life with Him. And I'm not going to teach on this tonight. You can thank me later. But I do want to read this really quick. Matthew 6:16-18. He says, when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. We have any the rest of it? Okay. 18 when you get there. While we have it, I don't think he's just saying, you know, practice personal hygiene. He's saying, look normal. Look normal. Like, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He's addressing a couple things there. He's addressing hypocrisy and one of the ways it shows up in wanting to please people, even with the things that God said were good that we should do. But I would say even more importantly, and the application that he ends with, is that there's something about fasting that God wants to do to bring us closer to him. There's a reward that he wants to give us in the secret place with him. And I would suggest that that reward, again, goes back to connecting with him, finding him, knowing him, understanding more of who he is. And I think fasting is this very practical, but also very spiritual way that God can help us sift through and separate the things that may be keeping us from being able to do that. And so I just want to encourage you to consider fasting in some way at some point. And just to note that the fasting that we see most prevalent and prominent in Scripture is the fasting, the abstaining of food for a time to be with God. And I would suggest that, in fact, it relates a lot to what we started, where we started in all of this, Romans 8, life in the Spirit, and the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And fasting is one of the ways that God quickens our spirit and allows us to understand what it is of the flesh that maybe he needs to deal with, that needs to be gotten rid of. All right, I want to I'm just going to wrap up in prayer, and I would just say as we end today, again, consider revisiting the things that God has said already, and asking him by his Spirit to breathe new life in those things. Maybe for some of you, it's actually asking someone here to listen for you and to see what God might want to say. So I would encourage and invite you to do that. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you're with us, and I thank you that, God, you are leading us more than we know, more than we know, more than we know. And at the same time, God, I thank you that you're not leading us blindly, but God, you lead us in ways that you've given us. You're calling us into participating in being led by you. And God, I thank you for the way that you speak and you have spoken to us through your word, through prayer, through others, through revelation by your Spirit. In ways that we couldn't think up on our own. But God, you've given us. And God, it's my prayer that by your word, God, that you would renew us, revive us, strengthen us, encourage us, stir the presence of God in us. Make us aware of the treasures that you've already given us and the ones that are still on the way. so that we can walk in the fullness and in the power of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to take communion, and we're ready tonight to come and receive this Christ's body and his blood broken and poured out.